The Fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
We're back! You ready? Tim and Sid! Hour number three. Swell!
You heard the man, this is Tim and Sid. Getting you set for Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan. A little later on, about an hour from now. Still to come, Big Daddy Bob McGill will join us. We'll break down a bunch of stuff, including potentially maybe some words from the hearing between John Tortorella and, I guess, Colin Campbell.
Colin Campbell. Might have an inside source on what went on in that hearing today.
There are a few stories coming out, not the least of which comes from Sebastian via Twitter and our good friend Todd, who let us know about a story from the Rochester Democrat, which I think provides a little insight that not a lot of people had, and that is that in Tortorella's first game as the head coach of the Rochester Americans, he faced the Hartley-coached Cornwall Aces, and there was a huge brawl, and they got into it face-to-face in that brawl because the previous coach of the Rochester Americans had had a contentious game with the Cornwall Aces before Tortorella was even there.
So
am I explaining that properly?
Yeah, so something continued from a previous guy.
Right, and Tortorella just lost his mind because he thought that he was being gooned up, not knowing the context that John Van Boxmeer's Amherst took on the Cornwall Aces and went toe-to-toe with them.
In pro sport, that kind of there's some kind of history,
mm-hmm.
and it happens more than kind of you hear reported because maybe something's not as juicy as another angle. But you know, there's normally a lot of this stuff that bubbles at the surface, going back years and years and years. Players, coaches, GMs, right. Doesn't matter.
Right.
So,
and apparently, Tony Gallagher from the Vancouver Province quoted a source that would know the situation, but had to remain nameless, saying that Bieksa knows Westgarth well, and that's why he paired up with them, and there was no fight, because he thought that he could save the kid from having to fight Westgarth. In the end, the kid had to fight Westgarth anyway, and 2 seconds into his career with his family watching, his NHL debut ended.
Do you wave at your family? When you get the game misconduct, and it's your first game, and your family's do you just give them a little... Hey, guys, love you.
Right.
See you at White Spot. Later.
You mean do the Hansen's wave?
Yeah.
Or as they're getting kicked off the ice?
You could do that. Yeah, it was just
call us. Nope. Using the quarter to call the pizza man.
Like, the feeling of the family in that section while this is going on?
Yeah.
Horrified. They must be horrified.
You know how we had the second interview from Seattle regarding Richard Sherman.
Correct.
That I thought was fantastic.
Well, and who knew Mean Gene Okerlund had field access?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he had credentials for it.
That was amazing.
The other thing is, in these continuing efforts to get closer to the game, Sid, we actually had microphones on the ice during the anthems for this matchup between the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks. I was just told about this audio. It was just made available to us.
Kidding.
Do you know that we actually have audio?
This is amazing.
From
Rogers Arena.
From ice level.
Saturday night.
During the anthems.
When the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof.
It's a nice anthem.
Yeah, it is.
The night.
Why would they sing the American?
Two Canadian teams.
Come on, and the three of you guys, you put one thing, you're out of this game. Now I run a clean game here. I have any trouble, I'll suspend. I'm listening to a song!
Somewhere Ken Reed is smiling. You're right, an American anthem with two Canadian teams is kind of a new thing.
I'm all for it.
I'm all for all countries.
My son, my 3-year-old son, actually during the national anthem for the Seahawks and Niners game, turned to me and said, "Daddy, where's No Canada?"
That is adorable. That is adorable.
Where is No Canada? He was upset that they didn't sing yeah. O Canada, which he apparently thinks is No Canada.
He also asked Daddy, where's the donuts? And then she goes, or he goes, did that lady take the donuts? And I love me some heart. Right. But
is that who she? I couldn't figure out where I knew her from.
All donut jokes aside, that was, she's one of my favorite singers ever.
But she kind of, the end of the song.
It was a little Bleeding Gums Murphy and it was a little unnecessary. Yeah. But
fantastic voice.
Man, she still got range.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of heart and soul in that one.
Anyway, so.
What? All right. So that's that. So we got still on the table, Tortorella. Leafs play tonight. Leafs are in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. The Raptors are getting smoked in Charlotte. I don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah.
And all that NFL, which we kind of just scratched the surface on. So
one of the real clips that we got, and I'll give.
Oh, Hartley.
Yeah. We've been teasing it for a while because I thought it was. I read the clip and I thought it was amazing. And then we were told that we had audio of the clip. And then I noticed one of Mark Spector's columns in which he called the post-game comments from that entire game phony, which is amazing because I would love for one of the media members, and it might be tough for a guy who's there every day.
It is tough.
To say, you know what? Stop feeding us BS lines. Like, we're not remarkably stupid. We're not idiots. Please tell us what's really going on. But this was my Bob Hartley said this as to why the starting lineup was the way the starting lineup looked for the Calgary Flames.
Hey, those guys are playing well for us, and you know, they got us a goal last game, and obviously we're not scoring many goals, so... Oh, like we had absolutely zero intentions there. Like those guys are playing hard for us. Like we're a disciplined hockey club, and oh, like they, as far as I know, they were the home team, so they had the luxury to put whoever they wanted on the ice.
Yeah, but a genuine bunch of Martin St. Louis that were playing that well. Bunch of Marty St. Louis are on. They're the hottest players in the league. We got to give them time.
We haven't scored goals, so it's going to be Westgarth, McGrath.
This guy's been playing really well for us. It's his third draw of the year, and we really wanted to set the tone with a guy who can't play hockey. Listen, Calgary fans, Tim, can I talk to somebody personally
sure.
for a moment?
Yeah,
right, right here. Let's see if Hal gets scared. All right, thank you. Calgary fan, maybe a little music. I don't know if this is maybe the Masters. Give me the Masters one. Thank you. Hey, Calgary fan.
That was quick, lad.
I like that. It was like Tiesto over here. Calgary fan, listen.
Tiesto.
Skrillex. I was going to say Skrillex.
Whatever. No. Bye.
Listen, Calgary fan. I know you're out there. Listen, shut up for a second. Let me tell you something. I feel your pain. You are a great fan base. You are a terrific group of people. I remember the Red Mile. Wasn't that long ago?
Who doesn't?
Martin St. Louis and the guys that got the better of you that series. It is what it is. But poor year after poor year, Calgary fan continues to go back to the Saddle Dome and support a team that is run by incompetence. None of what I'm about to say is aimed at you. You have held up your end of this bargain. You are a fantastic group of individuals and a great sports city. You deserve better than that garbage.
Preach.
You deserve better than that BS line that you just heard on this show fed to you by a guy who's about to lose his job in 3 weeks because Johnny Shiv in the back is waiting for him. And you know who that is. Your team on the ice can't spell competence. You are loyal. They are a mess. And I feel for you, because that's a black eye on that city, and that's a black eye on that team.
Oh, really?
Maybe not the city. It's a black eye on the team. And I remember the good old days. Al McGinnis, Landy McDonald, scoring, come around the boards, at the Forum. It's a great organization. Fantastic.
And you get the Theo Fleury sliding?
Theo Fleury sliding.
Thank you.
In Edmonton, which was double awesome.
For them.
For them.
Sorry.
For, it sucked for the Oilers.
Yeah.
Sorry. Steve Smith behind the net. Again, sucked for the Oilers, but it worked out for you guys. What I'm telling you today is you are better than this team and how they're being run. Because that was a joke. It's a joke from the top down. And there are guys in that team right now who 12 months from today are going to be gone from the team. So just hang in there. Hang in there. You're a good, strong fan base, and you'll get better one day. Just not with these guys running it. All with right. love and affection, signed Tim and Sid.
So much for the Flames being nice to us, eh, as a party?
The hell did you just
They did give us Brian Burke quick that day, which we
Did you say sign Tim and Sid?
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
No, don't do that. No, sign that yourself.
Try it again. Throw it up to you.
What the hell is he doing?
Sorry.
This is why I get tweets for things that you say all the time.
Yeah, like you're going to be in wherever you're going to be this week and just people are going to be angry at you for no reason. You didn't do anything. Listen, to you, the fan base of the Flames, and their extremely sympathetic and hardworking PR staff, I feel your pain.
Yeah.
Peace and love. Word to your mother.
Homie, don't play that.
Homie, don't play that. Love, Sid. There you go.
Thank you. They're just going to go down before they go up. You know that, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, that's what they're doing. They're just, like, tearing it down, and then they try and build it back up.
They've been tearing it down since 2006.
No, I know. Well, they should have torn it down.
Just a lot of tearing.
After 2006, but they didn't.
I hope and then right. they tried I to hope, hang man. On. I hope it's a cyclical thing, right. and I hope you're... I'm rooting for that city. Love that city.
Yeah. Like, I'm not... I don't hate Burke for what he's doing right now. Actually, I never really hated Burke. I don't mind him. He's enjoyable.
Can I hear that Hartley clip one more time? Do you mind?
It is a load of BS.
It is like I have to get a Q-tip and get the crap out of my ear after I'm done hearing it.
Can't someone... I know it's hard because the media has to go and talk to them every day. And if... Like, can someone just... Like, I would have loved for someone at the end of this clip, just like one of the media members just to go, yes. P.S. Garbage. That is a load of
You're going to be fired. Sorry.
You're only in stopgap.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Stopgap.
Sorry, Bob. Continue.
Hey, those guys are playing well for us. And
garbage.
Oh, they got us a goal last game, and obviously we're not scoring many goals. So, oh, like, we had absolutely zero intentions there. Like, those guys are playing hard for us. Like, we're a disciplined hockey club, and, oh, like, they... As far as I know, they were the home team, so they had the luxury to put whoever they wanted on the ice.
You're a phony! Hey, this guy's a great big phony! That's right, you're a big fat phony!
Simpsons? Oh, Family Guy, sorry. I didn't know. I was trying to figure out where that was for a second.
Sharan writes in and says, Sid, I think you can say the same thing to the Leaf fans. No, you know what? You know, here's the difference.
I don't know if I can.
Here's a difference.
I don't know if I can.
Most of the Leafs fans have never seen a win. So that's
In the face. In the face.
Listen, I'm born in 75. Live up.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Was I off base? Should I have not said something, Tim? I felt like we should talk to Flames fans, or Flames fans, easy for me to say directly. Because this is not a good time.
Dougie's Mullet writes in.
Great Twitter handle.
Jeff writes in and says something that I can't repeat, but
that's always the best tweet.
Then says, "That was beautiful."
Oh, well, that's nice.
Hashtag loyal Flames fan.
That's nice of him to say. Let's just be honest with it. The NHL needs to invoke a BS rule in their constitution where they can take away draft picks for BS. For every BS statement we hear, you lose a third rounder.
Right.
And there's an escalator for the more VS or BS you spew. Just an escalating line of punishment. So that's
here's the only reason why I wanted to take my name off of that. Most of it was right. What do you want the Flames to do now? Like,
listen, if you're gonna suck, that's your call.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not gonna draft, that is your call.
Right, but this... Hold on.
If you're going to trade Jerome McGinley for a pack of Gatorade, that's your call. Let's not make it a cartoon like they did Saturday night.
Oh, that's okay.
That's a
so
proud
let's not
franchise.
Make, but what Brian Burke and these guys have done since they've got in, what do you have a problem... Like, they're rebuilding.
Yeah, they're rebuilding.
Like, I just don't know what you want from them specifically. Like, how would you be doing it differently?
I just think they're in a situation where in order to take... people's spotlight.
That's why I was calling the BS on the Hartley clip.
See, that's like, come on. I'm with. I'm just saying.
Okay.
It's a proud organization. Don't be the punchline. There's mm-hmm. other. There's more than enough teams in this league that can be a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Get with it, Calgary. Like right now, the Oilers look more together. Like that's not saying much. So just let's play a hockey game. Let's not make it a news item, and let's not act as if afterwards. Because the clip, the more I think about the clip you played me, I get angrier and angrier. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. Eric writes in and says, Hartley translation. Hey man, I'm engaged. Dasher writes in and says, you could easily say the same thing about the Oilers management. Hashtag brutal. Hashtag take a lap. Hashtag I kind of agree with Dasher. You could say the same thing about the Oilers management, except they've had the opportunity to try and draft to fix it.
And they haven't had a line brawl this year, I don't think, off the front of a game.
No.
I'm pretty sure. I haven't claimed to watch the start of every Oilers game this year. I'm pretty sure they haven't had a line brawl.
I just don't. I don't understand. I don't know if I understand enough of the backstory, and we'll never get enough of the backstory to explain what happened here.
Yeah.
There, and don't kid yourself. Like, don't come into a show or don't come into this and say Hartley didn't do anything. He did. He knew exactly what he was doing. Westgarth taking his third draw of the year is enough to tell you what he thought he was going to do.
Sorry.
And he wasn't encouraging his energetic, his third face-off.
Yep.
Of the year.
Face off. A thing most good centers do 5 to 6 to 7 times a game.
And the reason why Sid ties Burke into this is because Burke, in his truculence and equal parts belligerence and whatever else he said, put some pressure on a head coach to bring that to the table.
You
and I'll tell you something else, too. While we're throwing stones at Bob Hartley, I'm not so sure that his bench wasn't a little bit perturbed at the fact that he did not engage Tortorella in some way, shape, or form.
It's an interesting angle. So you're suggesting that the stoic Bob Hartley, after what was going on, mm-hmm. and with Tortorella yelling at him, and Tortorella would gladly have hit the plexiglass if given the opportunity.
Right.
But Hartley wasn't even moving. Hartley was not acknowledging any malice from the other bench.
Listen, I found it funny. I found it amusing. I actually, for me, that's the better response. But for the guys who just fought a bunch of people on the, like,
who are sitting in that cramped penalty box across
right.
the ice.
But no, but they dropped gloves and took punches to the face.
The least you can do is yell at the guy.
The least you can do is somehow stand up for what you just sent your guys out to do.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's a great point. At the minimum, look at Tortorella. Like, yeah. We're talking, look at, he was standing there like, let's play the period, man. Next line up. Here we go. Nothing. I think that's a fantastic point.
Fred writes in and says, hey, Sid, shut up for a second. Stop whacking on Alberta teams. Leafs management sucked more. Hashtag 1967. I don't think that Sid did not acknowledge that in any way, shape,
or form. That's actual math. That's a thing.
That is correct.
That is a thing.
And
the math of it.
We understand all the franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, don't get mad at me. Just look at the standings. Looking at the standings, the Leafs had themselves a good week. Speaking of the Leafs, they're now in the first wild card spot, but things can change very quickly. Leafs are in Phoenix tonight. We are happy to report to me that Chris Johnson has been kind enough to join us from the lovely city of Phoenix. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, bud?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Before we dive into Blue and White Nation, one thought from Chris, and I know every hockey guy had a couple, on what happened in Vancouver Saturday and what you think the ramifications will be.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that John Tortorella has been called out on the carpet here. You know, you'll recall that he's had a bit of a history with this back when he coached the Rangers. There was a similar type of incident against the Devils in a game where they basically sent out all the tough guys and there was a line brawl off the opening faceoff. And, you know, I think he'll pay for this. I mean, myself, I would think given that past history, he could have just put out the star players and tried to score on them and the whole thing would have been diffused. But, you know, here we are. I guess it's something the whole hockey world's talking about. Even all the Coyotes guys were buzzing about it here this morning in Phoenix. So, I mean, if nothing else, I guess it's given us some grist for the mill.
Yeah, definitely. And let me just throw this out there because I did it at the start of the show and not a lot of people stick around for the whole show. But when we talk about the diffuse thing, remember Randy Carlyle got bit because he had Phil Kessel line up against John Scott. A lot of people thought that was the wrong move. So there is 6 1/2 dozen of the other on this too, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Scott one, I mean, now we're going to have to get into all hockey code and all this sort of stuff. But
right,
you know, if you remember the Scott play with Kessel, that had been preceded by a fight that the Sabres perceived was a mismatch. It was Jamie Devan of the Leafs against Corey Tropp, and Devan beat him pretty good. And so,
and it was preseason.
Yeah, and in the hockey code, I guess that the Sabres felt like then that they should have a chance to fight again. And when the Leafs didn't bite on that, that kind of is what led to that silly Scott Kessel thing. You know, I think in this case, why would one of those guys attack a star player? I mean, I guess why would it ever happen is a good question. But in this, you know, at the start of a game, it just seems to me that there wouldn't have been the same type of incident. But I guess you do never know, and I'm sure that's part of John Tortorella's defense.
Chris, I don't know why I care so much, but I do. What did Paul Bissonnette say about it today?
You know what? I didn't even talk to Biz Nasty there, so I'm not sure. But maybe I'll check in with him after the game.
I'm just throwing it out there. You know, he's not one to hide an opinion on social media, and if you're 140 characters or less, so I was just wondering what his take was. Chris, the mood of this team compared to 10 days ago, how big a difference is it?
Well, it's obviously 180 from where they were. And I think part of that, it isn't just that they've won four in a row, but you know, the way they beat the Habs in a pretty emotional game there on Saturday, you know, beating Boston at TD Garden last week as part of this, you know, there's a sort of been a surge of confidence, I think, that's come along with those wins. And, you know, it's obviously helped that the top line is really producing a lot right now. I think that's probably the biggest factor behind their turnaround here the last little bit. And, you know, it kind of sets things up interestingly for this trip because, you know, as we know, the Leafs don't face very many road trips like this. During the course of a season, it's going to be almost 9,000 kilometers. They travel this week, you know, while playing here in Phoenix, then Denver, Dallas, and Winnipeg. And, you know, I think that it could all kind of go south pretty quickly if they don't find a way to play well here on the road. But they certainly, you know, have arrived here to some beautiful sunshine and warm weather, you know, feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, the four-game winning streak, is there a different feel around this team? Because by the end of that game, it seemed like there was some swagger on this squad.
Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you that game against Montreal was one that they needed. And, you know, I think you guys probably touched on it earlier, but, you know, sort of James Van Riemsdyk tugging at his sweater, you know, mocking, I guess, P.K. Subban and feeling that they had atoned something there because Subban, you know, was alleged to have said something to the Leafs bench after the first goal that Montreal scored in that game. You know, it was kind of a moment where everyone was banding together and, you know, maybe getting a little bit more unified in the process. And, you know, obviously so long in this season, I mean, that 2 months basically that preceded what's gone on here in the last week or so, you're always looking for moments like that from where you saw some evidence of what the Leafs were. I mean, it just seemed like they were in a malaise most of the time going through their schedule. And, you know, now I think that there's a feeling that the season's getting a little bit more sort of serious, I guess, if you will, or it's getting a little closer to crunch time here. You know, it's only, I believe, 10 games now till the Olympic break, and then it'll be the trade deadline, and then it'll be a real sprint to the finish. So, you know, the Leafs feel as though they're stepping up at the right time. And again, time will only tell. Believe it or not, if they were to win tonight, it'd be their first 5-game winning streak since 2007. So,
whoa.
You know, this group is entering a little bit of uncharted territory here, at least in the last few years in Toronto.
You want to add the talk to the Leafs fans now about their franchise?
Oh, I think they know who they are.
By the way, Brian Burke was also here too.
Oh, great point. It writes itself to me. Chris Johnson down in Phoenix talking Leafs and Coyotes tonight. Leafs TV is where you see it. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, is where you hear it this evening. As Chris Johnson said, Leafs looking for their first 5-game winning streak since 1948. Chris, of the 4 games on the road this week, it's tonight, it's Colorado, it's Dallas and Winnipeg. What's the dangerous game of that group? What's the real tough spot for the Leafs, do you think?
I kind of see it. It's a tie between this one and tomorrow night's game in Denver. I mean, the reason I say this one is that Phoenix really hasn't played all that great for the last little stretch, sort of similar to the Leafs. And, you know, Toronto comes here on the winning streak. You know, the Coyotes are actually one of the few teams that they'll face here that's below them in the standings in terms of, you know, points earned this season. I could just see this being a bit of a letdown game. You know, the team didn't skate this morning either here. So I could just see them, you know, having a bit of a dud here tonight. But let's say if it doesn't end up being tonight, I think tomorrow is very tough because, you know, the Avalanche, you know, what they've shown, I believe right now they would be first in the Eastern Conference if they were in the East, is that hot start they got off to, you know, wasn't just a mirage, that this is actually a good hockey team. And I think that'll be a very tough game for the Leafs to win tomorrow night in Colorado, especially coming on the heels of back-to-backs and all that. But, you know, to me, those are the two most dangerous ones. I think the other ones, there's going to be more reason to be ready for them or up for them.
Kyle Lowry. I was thinking of the Kyle Lowry reference in Nazem Kadri's performance on Saturday, and that is when rumors start swirling around somebody, they start playing well. But that might have been Nazem Kadri's best game in a long while. How does he make sure that that's more the norm than it is the exception?
Well, it's sort of an interesting case with Kadri because, you know, we know he really wants to stay in Toronto. I know most players say that sort of thing when these type of rumors come up. But, you know, having grown up in London, Ontario, nearby, you know, I think he's pretty clearly a player that he has his own motivations even to want to stay here in Toronto. And I think if he's able to perform, you know, anywhere near the level he did on Saturday night, I think the rumors will go away pretty quickly. So, you know, there's a bit of a carrot there in all this for him in terms of, you know, trying to perform better just to save his own job or to ensure that he won't be sent packing. And, you know, I think that's something that he's clearly relished. You know, that was easily, I mean, I'm trying to struggle to think if he's had a better game than that all year. I know mm-hmm. he didn't score, but just, you know, laying that big hit on Markov early on, you know, both of the assists he got were world-class type of setup plays. And, you know, if he's doing that, he's clearly the number two center on this team, arguably, you know, could be the number one in terms of skill and ability and all that. And again, I think then his future becomes a little bit more clear. So he's got to keep that in mind, and I think he has. I had a chat with him the other night after the game, and, you know, I think that clearly caught his attention last week, the way everything went down, and it's almost like everything hit a critical mass, and he had to come out and answer questions about it. And, you know, I think he's intent on proving that he has a spot on this team.
I didn't know Chris he was such a huge Kobe fan. Like, can they get a Kobe cutout and just leave it up in the dressing room so he gets jacked up for every game? Or right? Like, he was very up for the fact Kobe was in the building Saturday.
Yeah, that wasn't just like something you say to be nice to sort of get past an offbeat question or something. He was clearly pretty motivated by it. Even Tyler Bozak had pointed out that he thought that might have put a little bit of this extra step in Kadri in that game. And yeah, I got to confess I didn't know that either. But you know, it's a guy that motivates him, and they even talked about it in the dressing room. So it'd be nice for Leaf fans, I guess, if they could get him to attend more Toronto games.
You know, what's funny is I noticed on your column on Sportsnet.ca about wanting to see this kind of matchup in the postseason, and the Leafs and Canadians. I know Randy Carlyle talked about shivers, and it was a special game if you were watching the entire thing, because it seemed like old times. Bernier said it felt like a playoff game, and I'm not sure if you noticed the attendance, but it was 19,667 in attendance.
Oh, man.
For that game.
Sorry, so what's the significance of 67? Oh, okay, they haven't won. Yeah, I got it. Right. Got it, guys. I'm on board, too. That's a crazy number.
Almost on principle, they would either find one extra spectator or remove one from their count.
I know. I don't know if they're trying to throw it out there like we've turned the corner, but I would have added one.
I think somebody in MLSE's office has a sense of humor, personally. I think that's what went on there.
Fair enough. But, you know, it was the best part about this, guys, and I think you can throw the Senators to some way into this. What you have is in Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa now, three teams that see themselves on the rise. You have young cores of those teams that seem to legitimately hate each other. I don't know if you remember the Sens and Habs playoff series last spring and the emotional game they played last week in Ottawa, you know, and then that game on Saturday night. And it's no longer now just the, you know, a geographic thing or a historical thing. I mean, Jonathan Bernier told me point blank after the game on the record that he's finding hate for the Habs. And you just don't hear that a lot, especially in modern day sports. And you know, at least with the Montreal-Toronto, it goes right back to Max Pacioretty putting a stick away like a saber at a game in Montreal in November when the goalie scored, put Montreal 4-0. And that clearly ticked the Leafs off. And, you know, then we saw a lot of back and forth here on Saturday, you know, and I would think that in their next meeting on March 1st that it's going to carry over. And that's why it just makes you think, like, man, if you saw a playoff series, this would become a real, tangible, legitimate thing. And I think it's sort of a new twist to an old rivalry.
Well, with the way the playoffs are structured, a lot better chance now of that happening than it was beforehand. So we might get our wish soon, Chris. We might get our wish soon. Enjoy the game tonight. And are you on the road for the entire thing, or are you coming back at some point?
I am. We go hot today, cold tomorrow, hot in Dallas, and then cold in Winnipeg. So.
Oh, you are so gonna get the flu. That weather's just up and down. Just take your NyQuil and
take your NyQuil.
I'm just trying to be. It's just the Portuguese grandmother. I just want to make sure Chris is okay. Thanks, okay. Chris. We appreciate it.
All right, boys. Take care.
There is Chris Johnson. Follow him on Twitter at @ReporterChris, @ReporterChris, excuse me, and read his stuff on sportsnet.ca. Two things right now. One, Dan Murphy saying that the Iron Man streak is over for Henrik Sedin, will not play versus the Oilers.
Probably shouldn't have been out there the other night, right?
Yeah, 679 consecutive games. That's over. I got a feeling he wanted to keep that going, but
it's a marathon, not a sprint, Timmy.
And the best part of your little rant about the, I shouldn't call it little. As soon as I said it, I felt like a jerk. Sorry.
Little?
About your rant.
It's not the first time I've been characterized as little. Go on.
Your rant about the Calgary Flames and then our adding of the Oilers to that equation. Daryl Cates wrote a letter, an open letter to the Oilers fans at 3 p.m. Eastern time as you were talking to Calgary fans.
Wait a second. So I'm talking to, without having spoken to any of you, I'm speaking for all of you as I'm talking to Calgary fans.
Correct.
So you're telling me in that moment, or just beforehand, the Oilers post this Daryl Cates open letter to their fans, basically apologizing for kind of the same thing. Not really, but kind of.
Right.
Well, that
apologize to the fans for being, as I mentioned, I think Dostoyevsky said earlier, apologizing for them being.
Do it one more time. It's a theater of the mind.
Apologizing for them being.
That's pretty. That's pretty good.
I tried the variation on each one, but
I liked it. It was a little different.
It's just the twins, you know. There's different dialects. You know, you have to make sure that
you're talking about a trip to Europe. Yeah, I had all these different dialects. Yeah, learning the language.
You know what I'm saying.
By the way, is this? I wonder if this is any different than the private letter he sent apologizing to Ben Scrivens for bringing him into that quagmire of no defense and losing. Poor Ben Scrivens.
Is there going to be a letter from the Raptors management? They're down 30.
Do you remember the
30 in Charlotte? It's 71-4. Oh, hold on. DeMar DeRozan just scored a bucket. It's 71-43 Charlotte right now. Is
that's
this the true
that's
Raptors?
Actually happening right now.
And Kemba Walker's not playing in this game. All right, we're gonna break all this down.
Oh, they need Wiggins.
Did the owner of the Oilers hear Sid Sixero tap out a letter really quickly?
Just really fast.
And maybe post-date it. Did you just say he knocked one out?
Nope. The competition in Alberta just lives on, Tim.
Yeah.
It just lives
on.
That's
exactly what it is. And we will fill in the blank on Sid Sixero's mug. We have several, I don't know what I'm looking for here.
Choices? Candidates?
Several candidates.
There you go.
That's the concussion right there, like searching for the word candidates. Are you kidding me? We have several candidates. You will pick one.
Oh, I pick?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
think
know
you
I
get
this
pick.
Power.
What's on the mug?
It's a great caveat to it. Right. I'm in. All right, so that's what's going on next. And then shout out to Drake again. It was a solid SNL performance. And we'll talk about a lot of stuff. Poor Raptors, Tim and Sid, Sportsnet, Radio Network, and 360. They are getting their ass handed to them right now. Oh.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
This is Tim and Sid. While you're jamming to this song, Sixero.
Oh, she's good.
Can you tell me when Ryan Kelly and Josh McRoberts turned into Kevin McHale and Kevin McHale?
Because that's the duo that right now is destroying the Raptors. Is that it? Is that they're Stockton and Malone?
Yes.
Well, I know it's too big. It's not exactly Stockton and Malone.
No,
but
yesterday it's Ryan Kelly with the Lakers B team straight out of Duke. And then now it's Josh McRoberts.
The thing,
like a running theme here or
the
something?
The things Ryan Kelly was doing yesterday were infuriating.
Oh.
And Nick Young can go to hell with him. Now, that guy's just, like to quote Tim McAuliffe, Jack Master Flash in the Furious Five. That's Nick Young. Just throw it up, throw it up, throw it up. I know that's D'Antoni. I know that's how he likes to play.
Right.
But throw it up, throw it up, throw it up, throw it up. The Raptors are having a bad afternoon in the city of Charlotte.
No, they're getting their ass handed to them. Like, that's what's happening right now.
It's bad.
Although they have cut it from 30 to 18.
You know what? When the first part of your sentence is they cut it from 30 to, like, end the sentence.
End of the third quarter, it's now 78 to 60, Charlotte. They were up by as many as 30 from what I saw.
It's an awful thing. That's an awful thing that's going on.
Lowry, 3 of 14. Valanciunas continues to struggle, 1 of 5, 2 points. And everything's off the bench. Listen. Ross, 0 for 4, 1 point. Amir Johnson, 1 for 4, 2 points.
Sorry, Ross has a point?
Terrence Ross has 1 point.
Holy cow. So that means he only has 2 threes. No, the math there doesn't work.
It's interesting. Kyle Lowry's minus 28. Gravis Vasquez is plus 9.
He's minus...
Plus 9?
He's an Oiler defenseman. He's minus 28. Holy cow. Oh, by the way, Tim, before we dive in, do we have time for a birthday shout-out?
Who's it for? Is it the guy I think it's for?
Is it a guy?
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of this show, Jeffrey Ezekiel Azapardi.
Which is funny because when you have Azapardi as a last name, you wouldn't think that you go Ezekiel.
Hey, but it's a melting pot here.
Right.
He's 33 years old today. Happy birthday, Jeff. Come in here for two seconds. Come here.
Sit in here.
Gotta hear you tell dumb stories
happy
all day. Sit down.
To
look at this guy. The producer of this show, who now hates life.
I didn't say put on the headphones.
Don't get comfortable.
Remember when he used to come in all the time?
What is he, Shannon? He just grabs the headphones. I'm going to stay for a while.
I need walking music.
Glow in a master. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How old are you really?
None of your business.
Are you single?
Not as old as you. That's
are you
all
single?
I can say. Maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah.
this is the kind like of information
the show,
we get.
Everything's up in the air.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's up
How
in the
old
air.
Are you? None of your business. Are you single? Maybe. Although the answer maybe to single is awesome. Yeah. Let me just say that.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Or it'll get you in trouble with one person.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Producer Jeff has
I
a party
didn't
in the show.
I shake your hand, but thank you.
It's having a better day than the Raptors are right now in Charlotte. All right, go produce the show. Get the hell out of here. Here's Jeff Azapardi. Happy birthday. Now get out!
You know,
it's
Azapardi,
such a douche move.
He did all the nice stuff just so he could do the end.
Yeah. That's the only reason I wanted to do that. Just yell at you to get out on your birthday.
All right, I need some more music here, Lance. We need to finish this match game off. We started it early in the show. There's another three-pointer by Charlotte.
Wow.
Lead back to 81-62.
Wow. Oh, and by the way, that bucket brought to you by Bacardi, which all the Raptors will be drinking
on the way back to
Toronto. Holy
That's
cow.
That's right. You heard me right. Martin Luther King Day in the United States of America. Charlotte up 81-62 on your Toronto Raptors.
Okay. let's move on from that, Timmy.
The favorite, as we were talking early in the show, I don't even remember how we got on making... Oh, because you had four cups going.
I had a lot of coffee.
You were destroying the environment by having four disposable cups for your coffee today. And I said, I'm going to get you a mug. And we had to figure out what we're going to put on this mug.
You, not only a mug, you were going to personalize said mug.
I'm going to personalize the mug. And the first early match games for what it should say... On Sixero's mug, is it wrong to say that "Tastes Like a Fart" would be the favorite
top three
so far?
Maybe the favorite.
It tastes like a fart.
Yeah, that's a strong candidate. Right. Strong.
Nicholas writes in. Nicholas Ferente, I believe, writes in and says Sid's mug should say "Compete Level." I think so. I think that's a pretty good one.
God, I hate that.
You like that one?
I like the suggestion. Right. The term in general, I have a strong disdain for.
Lambo writes in and says, Sid's mug should say, "Gravy train stops here."
It's not bad. Okay. It's technically correct.
Kazim writes in, Adamolu. I hope I got that right. I hate when I just wimp out of the back name, the last name.
Just call him A-Doggy.
No, Kazim Adamolu. It should say, "I love lower back tattoos."
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. I like that one.
Sid's mugs to Pro, who writes in and says, Smells like Mary Brown's chicken in here. And then the picture should be myself and Rebrel Kitchards laughing our rear ends off.
I like that one.
Okay.
That's a strong candidate.
Ari writes in and says, Sid's mug should say, Masai can trade this. Not bad.
It's all right.
Peter writes in and said, I don't know what it should say, but the pictures are definitely Sid flanked by Andrea Bargnani and Pierre Maguire.
The Holy Trinity.
Michael writes in and says, Sid's mug should say tugging sweaters since 1999. John Regan writes in and says, should say, I like my coffee like I like my mares, full of white powder.
Go, Leafs, go. No, he's not talking about him.
He's talking about the other one.
What the hell are you talking about? I was talking about another guy.
Yeah.
Don't put that there. Riley writes in, says Sid's mug for sure has to say, never mind the toes.
Never mind the toes.
By the way, shout out.
Never mind the toes. Go figure out what's going on with this team.
Shout out the barbershop in Hamilton that has us on TV every day. My buddy walks in there last week.
Oh, yeah?
And he mentions he knows me. And the barber's like, I love these guys. Forget the toast, these guys. Forget the toast. So shout out to that guy in Hamilton.
Shout out to Hamilton, period.
Yeah, Hamilton's.
David Baxter writes in and says, your mug should say Deuce Juice.
Oh, that's a little disgusting.
I don't know if I want to compass it. What does Merrick call you?
But it doesn't add juice to it.
That's what's in the cup.
Oh, this
kid's disgusting.
There's kids watching.
You have a problem.
My God.
I like William Lang's idea, who just says, Sid's cup should say ugly mug with a picture of Sid.
Well, that's just bullying. That's bullying.
P.S. I don't think you're ugly, Sid. I just wanted some internet points.
You got a couple. That's a fair comment.
Joe Nemo writes in and says, Sid's mug should say, drink me if you want herpes. Philippe writes in.
You didn't write it that way. You said it that way. There's no way he wrote it that way.
No, he put a Z on the end, herpes.
That's amazing. That could win.
Philippe writes in and says, fatter and lazier by the minute.
That's bullying. I don't like that.
Brian Doyon writes in and says, I don't always drink my gravy, but when I do, it's from a mug. And finally, think of your favorite, because we're putting it on a mug.
Yeah,
I'm telling you
big,
right now.
This is big.
Travis writes in and says, Sid's cup should simply say, two men, four cups.
Oh. Okay, two things. One, that's not going on the cup.
Okay.
Two, I can honestly say, I'm the guy that hasn't seen it, and I'm very proud of that. Go ahead, Timmy. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't.
Bobby wrote in and said, Sid's mug should say dans la bouche.
That Oka cheese ad had me on the floor, and I just picked up on it yesterday. I was crying. I missed the third quarter. I was just rewinding the commercial.
Right. And Paul says...
And we almost missed a fourth and two with 2 minutes to go, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, apparently Fox did too.
But how did everyone get the clean play in the highlights? That's what I understand. NFL Network clean play. We unconnected or on Sportsnet 360.
Oh my God,
we had the clean play.
We've run out of time.
Oh.
I was talking about Oka Cheese. Do you want to pick one? We had Drake on SNL. I'm sorry. I took up all his time with the match game. Although I thought it was pretty funny.
It's down to herpes and...
Dans la bouche?
Dans la bouche. It could win.
It could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us.
I'm torn to him. I'm sorry. We appreciate
it. No, this is big. You only have to make it by tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow
I'm on vacation.
Primetime Sports, Bob McCown is next. I'm Sid. He's Tim. Tim and Sid, Sportsnet Radio Network, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360.
By the way, thanks Richard Sherman and John Tortorella.
Yeah.
And Bob Arthur.
Hey, somebody make our show for us tomorrow. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.